Now, we may get 20 out of 20 in a quiz, or even 18 or 16, and think we've done well, but that's only in a quiz. But keeping these commandments is very, very hard, as we've already been reminded. In fact, if you're honest, you look at them and you think, how can I? That is such a high standard to keep. Really don't think I can. That's a good reaction to think like that. How can I possibly live up to the standards God has set? Well, a bit later on in the Old Testament story, God made a very wonderful promise through his prophet, his servant Ezekiel, and I think we can see that up on the screen. And God said later on, a few hundred years later, after giving these commandments, he said this. Should we read this together? You read it with me. Off we go. I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my laws. God says he would put his spirit within us. Now today is what we call Pentecost Sunday. It's the day when we remember the gift of God's Holy Spirit. A number of days after Jesus went back to heaven to be with his Father, after he died and risen, he went back to heaven, and a little while after that, he sent the Holy Spirit so that everybody who believes in him could have the Holy Spirit living inside them. And that's what this promise, which had been made hundreds of years before, said. God said, I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my laws. That's Pentecost, but we're going to go back 1,000 years or more and just think a bit about when those 10 commandments first came to God's people. I've got some questions. We just need to be clear in our heads about getting the right answers. The first question is, where did it happen? Where did God meet with his people in order to give them the 10 commandments for the first time? Here are 3 possibilities. Where did God meet with his people? 3 rather important places, Mount Sinai, somewhere in a sort of a desert place, 10 Downing Street, not particularly important really, Canterbury Cathedral, important things happened there. Well, where do we think God actually met with his people? Anybody got any bright ideas which this might be? What do we think? Any vote for 10 Downing Street, really? You think 10 Downing Street? No, any advance on 10 Downing Street? Well, you think perhaps Mount Sinai in the wilderness? Let's have a look. I think we can get the right one. Bye-bye to the other two. Yes, God met with the people at Mount Sinai. Rather a long way from anywhere, Mount Sinai. Okay, next thing. The 10 commandments were written. They were written down. Not just spoken, but they were written down. I want to know what they were written down on. What did God write the 10 commandments on? We've got a lot of enthusiastic hands at the front. Any further back? Various possibilities on a tablet, an iPad, or a 42-inch television. We've only got a 26, so we wouldn't have been able to read them if it had been on our television. A bus. You see some quite interesting things on the side of a bus, actually. I wonder if God wrote the 10 commandments on the side of a bus, or possibly on a different sort of tablet, stone tablets. Any enthusiasm? Not much enthusiasm from the back at the moment. The hinterland's rather quiet. All right, I have to come to the front then. Yes, okay, where do we think? Yeah, written on a bus. I don't think the bus actually managed to get as far as Mount Sinai. Actually, let's have a quiet thought from here. Yeah, what do you think? Stone tablets. Yeah, not the other sort of tablets. Stone tablets. Yep, absolutely. Stone tablets. And who did God give these commandments to? He didn't give them all people all the time. He gave them to one particular person to give to the people. And I wonder who that might have been. Here are some possibilities. Various people up here, some older, some younger. Who did God give the 10 commandments to? Various people there might have got the commandments. Adam and Eve, probably a bit early for them. Henry VIII, a bit late. He wasn't very good at keeping them anyway. And then who else might there have been? Various other possibilities. Isaiah seems to have lost an A. I think that's Isaiah. Never mind. I think that's probably Isaiah we have in mind. Well, good. A hand further back. Always like a hand further back. Hand near the back row. Well, who do we think God gave the 10 commandments to? Was it Moses? Let's have a look and see. It might just have been Moses, mightn't it? Yeah, brilliant. Well done. Great. 10 commandments. God gave them on, wrote them on stone tablets. 2 stone tablets. Here they are. Well, probably a little bit heavier, these ones, but a bit like these. And here they are, God's 10 commandments given to his people. Trouble is, so they're very good commandments because God gave them. They just come at you from outside. So I come to Thomas here and say, keep the commandments, all right? And here are some more. And I go to the children, I go to the adults. God says, keep the commandments. It all sounds a bit difficult from outside. We come to our friends here and say, keep commandments. It's rather difficult, really. It just all comes at you from outside. And that's going to be rather difficult because my heart may say something a bit different inside. God's commandments are very good, but they just sort of come at us. And what's going on inside, that's partly why it's difficult to keep them. And that's why the promise that we were looking at is very wonderful. God said, there will be a day, the day will come, let's read it again together, when I will put my spirit within you, so that you will obey my laws. We're going to hear a little bit more about what happened when those commandments first came. That was some mountain to be at, wasn't it? Mountains can be very beautiful. I think we may have a picture of a very beautiful mountain. I hope we've got a picture of a very beautiful mountain. Oh, just look at that. Isn't that just gorgeous? Didn't it just make you want to be there? I think it may just be from the Canadian Rockies. I had a holiday many years ago at the Canadian Rockies, and it's just fantastic. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, dream, drool. Anybody like to pay for me to go again to the Canadian Rockies? Just have a word with me afterwards. I'm very happy to go. Just lovely. Mountains can be just so gorgeous, can't they? The blue sky beyond and the lake down below and the snow on the mountains. Oh, just wonderful. Sorry, but get on to the next one, because there's a different kind of mountain. Ah, now the mountain where God gave his Ten Commandments to Moses was a bit more like this. We read in the story that the whole mountain quaked and trembled, and there was fire and earthquake and lightning and dark cloud and darkness, and it was awesome. And the people were there shaking at the bottom of the mountain when God gave his commandments. It wasn't sort of nice mountain made you think, oh, I'd love to go there. It was sort of mountain which made you think, I'm not sure I can get too close. In fact, God said, don't let them anywhere near. And if anyone touches the mountain, for a beast touches the mountain, it must be put to death. So what was this teaching the people? Well, that God's commandments are very strong, very high standards, and he is awesome. And they knew they couldn't just go up and say, hello, God, we're here. It wasn't like that at all. Very awesome God. And it made them very, very concerned. They couldn't just rush in as if he was just like one of them. The commandments show what God is like, and they show us what we should be like. He is a holy God. I think we're going to sing about that. Opposite. Do you find that? I mean, like this sign here. Suppose you saw this. Please keep off the grass. I don't know if you're like me, but when I see a sign saying, please keep off the grass, a little bit of me says, why should I? Nice grass. And my foot begins to twitch in a sort of grass direction. And I think, who are they to tell me not to do that? Or maybe you see a sign on a door like this, and it says, private. And you think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what's behind that door. I think I'll just have a little look. Being told to do something can actually make us want to do the opposite. Do you know what I mean? If Mum says, don't do this, and think, well, I think I will. We're all a bit like that, really. And knowing what's right to do doesn't mean that we do what's right. In fact, we may want to do the opposite. Now, the first of God's commandments was, who can remember? No other gods before me, says God. No other gods before me. Now, Moses is a bit like the grand old Duke of York on the mountain. Sometimes he's at the bottom, sometimes he's at the top. When he's at the bottom, he's at the bottom. When he's at the top, he's at the top. Sometimes he's only halfway up. He's neither up nor down. Keeps him going up and down the mountain like a yo-yo. He goes up the mountain, and the people get a bit restless. They've been told this commandment, no other gods before me. And they say, well, why shouldn't we have another god? And Moses has gone up the mountain. He seems to have disappeared. I'm not sure we really want that god anyway. So let's have a party. They say, who'd like a party? Come on, people, have a party. Party time. All the people at the bottom of the mountain say, it's time for party. I can't see many partygoers. Come on, partygoers. I've got a golden calf for you. We're going to have a go. Come on, come on. Come and join the party. Who's going to come and dance? Come on, have you come? Jig around. That's the way. Party time. Yep. Very good, that's more like it. Great! And look, I've got your golden calf. Hey, well, it's a golden rocking horse today, but anyway, that'll do. Brilliant. Come on, more partying. Lots of partying. Great. Fantastic. Okay, thank you, musicians, just for a moment. Brilliant. Really, really good. Why are they having a party? Because they said to Aaron, Moses' brother, we don't like the idea of that God. We want a different God. Make another God for us. Everybody has a God of some kind. That's just life. Whatever's most important to you, whatever you worship in that sense, that's your God. And they said, we need a God. We don't like the one we were told about before. We're going to have another one. And Aaron says, that's fine. Give me your gold and I'll make a golden rocking horse. Well, actually, he said a golden calf, but this is a sort of substitute. It'll do just as well. And they said, Aaron said, this is your God. All right? This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt, and you can follow him, and he will look after you from now on. So more party, please. More party. Come on, round the rocking horse. Off we go. Party. Great. Brilliant. Right. But Moses didn't stay up the mountain all the time. Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees what's going on. He sees they've made another God, even though God said, I'm the only God. And Moses comes and sees them all having a party and worshipping this rocking horse, or calf, as it actually was. And Moses is so cross. He says, we can't have this. He brings the commandments. Oh, no, good. Oh. He broke the stone tablets. Why do you think he broke the stone tablets of the commandments on? Yeah? He was very cross with them. And also, I think he was saying, realizing that though the commandments are very, very good, because they're God's commandments, they can't change the people. People are told to have no other God, and they say, rather like me with the grass, why shouldn't we have another God? And so they do. And we're all a bit like that. That's why we need to hear a little bit more about what God's Spirit will do. Thank you. If you'd like to make your way back, you party goers. The commandments just came to us, you see, from outside. And Moses is saying, it's not enough just to have the commandments. Something else has got to happen. And I think we're going to hear a little bit more about that in the rest of that reading from Ezekiel. Now, the Bible tells us that God is one. There's only one God, but he exists in three persons, sometimes referred to as the Trinity. And that's very wonderful that God is one God, but three persons. It's a wonderful thing, because if it wasn't true, we couldn't know him, let alone be friends with him. He would be like Allah, who is distant and remote and has just to be submitted to. But the God of the Bible, the God who's made himself known to us, is one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you could think of it a bit like this. Bible history goes a little bit like this as God shows himself. First of all, in the Old Testament, God is for his people. You could think of that being a bit like God the Father being for his people, on the side of his people. And then when Jesus comes and lives on earth among us in the Gospels, we find that God has come to be with his people, God for his people, God with his people, and then from Pentecost onwards, since Pentecost, God in his people by his Holy Spirit. And that's brilliant, because the difference is that if God's Spirit is in us, he changes us so that we begin to want to please him, and he begins to help us to do so. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Since Jesus went back to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, it's possible for God to be in us, his Spirit within us, so that we begin to obey his laws. Now, I have here a very fine football boot. Very fine football boot, indeed. Can you see my football boot? Here we are. There we are. Well, take it on trust. This is a football boot. I'll hold it up against my white shirt. You'll be able to see it. It's a very good football boot. It's clearly played football. It's got mud on it. It's not mine. It's got studs, so it's clearly a football boot. And I say to it, boot, kick the football. It doesn't seem to do very much about it. Come on, boot, it's what you're made for. Football, over there, go and kick the football. Do you see it doing anything? No? No, I don't think it is. I'll try once more. Go on, go and kick the football. Go on, it's what you're made for. Go and kick the football. Ah, can't do it. But now, suppose Jamie Vardy from Leicester City Football Club were to come and put his foot inside it, then just think what that boot could do. We'd say to boot, go and kick the football, and who knows where the ball would go after that. It's a bit like that with us. We're just on our own. We're really as feeble as this boot trying to keep God's commandments. God says to us, keep my commandments. We say, well, I don't think I can. And then he says, but I will put my spirit within you, and then you will obey my laws. Not perfectly, certainly not overnight, not at all in this life, but God will begin to change us so that we want to do what he wants and that we're able to do what he wants. Let's have a look at that verse again. I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my laws. Now, I just need to say one thing, which is very important, in case anybody misunderstood. We don't become Christians by keeping God's commandments. Are you all clear about that? We don't become Christians by keeping God's rules, because we said earlier, we can't. No, we become Christians by realizing we haven't kept God's rules, but that Jesus has come to be our Savior. And he died for us on the cross and rose again and now sends his Holy Spirit to us. When we put our trust in him, that's what makes us Christian. But when we do put our trust in him, then this promise becomes true. He then puts his spirit within us and begins to change us to be like him. Should we say that verse again? I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my laws. That's how wonderful, how marvelous that God sent his Holy Spirit to change us from the inside. It's wonderful. What a mighty Savior he has, and what a mighty Savior we need.